Support comes from WFAE members and Mazda of South Charlotte, focused on applying Mazda's customer-centric approach for vehicle design to car buying and servicing in order to create an experience centered around the customer. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com. This is Charlotte Talks. I'm Mike Collins. Temperatures are falling. Leaves have begun to fade toward their fall colors. But for gardeners, the work continues. Despite what you might think, fall is not a fallow time for gardens. Some experts believe it is the best time of the year to work in the garden. After all, it's cooler and there's a lot to do, from cultivating vegetables that thrive this time of year to planting trees and shrubs and to getting things ready for winter and spring. So to help us navigate the season in the garden, or the flower pot, or the raised bed, whatever you may have, we've invited our triumvirate of gardening experts back to help us with some sage advice. I'm not talking about the herb. Mary Roberts is owner of Windcrest Farms in Monroe. She's here along with Cherie Jazar, the local gardener, farmer, and the owner of Deep Roots CPS Farm. And Aaron Hostetler is a gardener and the owner of The Patio Farmer. Welcome back to you all. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So Mary, since you were the first to respond, I'll throw the first question at you. As I mentioned, experts say that fall is the best time of year. We have four seasons in Charlotte, but fall's the best time of year to garden. Do you agree? And if so, why?
Well, absolutely. The weather is getting cooler, so we're not sweating so much. We've had a long, hot summer. The humidity has dropped, but the soil is still warm. So when we put in plants now, those roots can really get established before the really cold weather happens. We've got less weed pressure, less pest pressure. And it's just, fall is just a nice time to be outside and be connecting with nature anyway. And if you can put something in the ground right now that you can eat through the winter, well, that's just a win-win.
Well, let's talk about that, Cherie. Is fall more about planting and harvesting vegetables that do well this time of year and might do well a little bit later on when it really gets cold? Or is it more about preparation for getting your plot of land, your garden, your flower pot, whatever it may be, ready for spring?
So, I think it depends on, what you are intending to do. Definitely, if you love the sweeter tasting leafy greens like collards and kales, you really want to plant those now, because the taste for me is great this time of year, especially when the cold sets in. But then, if you want a really nice spring garden, if you want to have garlic in next year, you want to start doing some things for preparation right now. And it's a really good time to replenish the organic matter into your soil, to enrich your soil, to just make sure if you've pulled out any kind of vegetable plants or plants from the summertime, that you cover your soil. So it sort of depends on what you want. For me and our farm, we want to get ready for spring, but we also want those good root crops like carrots that taste well now this time of year, and the leafy greens.
Aaron, the patio farmer is indicative of what you specialize in, and that is growing things in small areas. Maybe you have a window box or pots or some small area on your patio, on your deck, on your your balcony, in your apartment, whatever it may be. But if you're using containers to grow things, whether they're plants or vegetables or herbs, does it matter that it's fall? I mean, can you just bring those things in when the weather really gets cold? Do you have to do anything special in the fall?
No, I mean, not with our mild climate. Our winters don't get too cold for any like pots, the material itself. So your plants should be fine outside through the winter. Like anything that you would be planting, any annual vegetable, which, most of them are annuals. They only live for a couple months. If you're planting leafy greens, root vegetables, herbs, with the exception of basil. They will all do just fine in pots through the winter. An exception there is anything that is not hardy in our agricultural zone. So we live in the USDA hardiness zone 8A. So any kind of perennial plants, if you have citrus at home, citrus trees will not survive, or they will not thrive, let me say, in outside in pots this time, or like going into the winter. So those do need to come inside, but everything else should be fine outside.
She just mentioned herbs, everything but basil. I guess basil dies. You can't keep it outside in the cold. I take that's what you meant by that. Is that correct?
That's correct. Basil
Okay.
loves the summer heat.
So we have a question from a listener, Everett, who says we have an herb garden with basil, mint, parsley, rosemary, cilantro, and more. It's our first time having one, and we keep it in our backyard. It's had a wonderful summer. Should we do anything different heading into the fall to keep it thriving? And is there a certain point where these plants simply won't hold up outside? Who would like to take that? Cherie, you
I'll
have a
take
big smile.
it.
Okay, go ahead. All right, go ahead. Take it.
I'll share it because I'm sure all three of us have some answers. Like Aaron said, the basil is going to be gone, but anything else that was mentioned is a hardy perennial. Now, they're not going to grow like they do in the summer. They're going to look a little, let's just say, sleepy. They're not going to be as vibrant, but they should do well. Through the winter. Now, one of the herbs that was mentioned is cilantro. And the number one question that I've gotten in 20 years about herbs is about growing cilantro. And so many people are frustrated with growing it during the summer when they want to pair it with those beautiful tomatoes and do salsa and everything. And cilantro just doesn't really like the heat at all. It loves the cooler weather. So now is, if you're a cilantro fan, now is the time to get that started. And literally, we've been knee deep in cilantro by the spring when we plant it this time of year. And so, kind of the rule of thumb with herbs is that during the summer, when they're very, very vibrant, you harvest enough for the immediate use and for the winter. You dry it so that you have that stash for the winter. With cilantro, it's the opposite. You grow a bunch of it in the cool, you preserve it. We like to freeze it in some ice cubes, and then you've got it in the summer. So herbs are great. I mean, they are all year round. You just have to know what their life cycle is.
Okay. Actually surprises me about cilantro because I associate that with Mexican food, and Mexican food comes from Mexico where it's always hot. So how do they do it down there? Well, that's a show for another day.
Yes,
So
it
let's talk about climate, Mary, for just a second, because the climate is changing. The growing zones are shifting a little bit, and I would imagine that the summer growing season is getting longer on both ends. It probably starts earlier and ends later than it did maybe 25, 30 years ago. So are we really in fall season yet, or are we still in summer? I know it's cool right now this morning, but it's been in the 80s.
You know, we've had one of the coolest Augusts that I can remember in a long time. And everybody got so excited about it. And we did because it was just wonderful to have cooler temperatures early. But I just kept saying, you wait, summer's coming back. They call it Indian summer. We've had hot days into October in years past. So it's not something that you can predict anymore. From my experience, a cool August, we had a hot and dry September. Who knows what October is going to be? I just say, you know, go outside and enjoy the day for what it is. And it's a challenge. It really is for those of us that are growing.
Cherie, you mentioned some of the things that you like to plant this time of year. You mentioned kale as one of them and some of the greens, etc. NC State University recommends planting things like arugula, broccoli, cabbage, cauliflower, lettuce, and several other things in September. Well, September is gone, October is here. So is it too late to plant those things? And if so, or if not, what else would you recommend planting right now?
Well, arugula is one of the leafy greens or lettuces in that family. that the days to maturity from a seed to actual harvest is really short. So for 28 days, which is going to be before the frost, you can get a harvest of arugula. So that's a good one that you would like to plant from a seed. The others, there are some really good nurseries in our community that you can get starter plants from. One of them is on our call here. And so I would recommend, if you're wanting to have some of those leafy greens like a kale or a collard, that you would elect to get a seedling, so a small plant that you can put in your garden. I just wanted to say one more thing about the herbs, because if there's a thriving herb garden in that backyard, one of the things that you can do to keep it going or even expanding is to divide those plants that can be divided. So some herbs that will divide are like thyme or oregano or even lemon balm, but you got to be a little bit careful with lemon balm or mint dividing because it'll take over. But dividing just means if you basically take a piece of the plant, if it still has a root at the bottom, and plant it in another section of your herb garden. So you can, right now is a time where you can plan to expand that herb garden. But those leafy greens, you can start even Swiss chard. You may be able to start from a seed and get a small baby leaf before the frost comes in.
Aaron, Cherie mentioned a few minutes ago garlic. And I know that you wanted to talk about growing different varieties of garlic, and how to do that and how to get bigger bulbs as a result. So you're on. Have at it. Scare the vampires.
Yes. Okay. Well, that's always how, like, when I'm talking with clients, that's always what I say to remind them about when to plant garlic is we plant it near Halloween to help keep those vampires away. But garlic is a delightful crop. If you've never grown it at home, if you love garlic, I have a slight obsession with it, so I always plant a ton. But planting it towards the end of October is ideal. It takes a long time to grow. It's one of the longest days to maturity window for the crops that we can grow at home. You plant it at the end of October, and then you usually harvest it the following May, like end of May, early June. So it is something that you need to plan for, that space wherever you put your garlic will be tied up until you harvest it in, the spring, late spring. And there are two main types or classifications of garlic plants. There's hardneck garlic and there's softneck garlic. And there's pros and cons to both. Both are delicious and wonderful. Hardneck garlic in the spring will create what's called a scape. If you've seen these at farmers markets, in the spring, they're delightful, and it's a bonus harvest that you get from your garlic. But it's basically the flowering head of the garlic plant. You can harvest that to help get your bulbs bigger for the hardneck variety. Softneck garlic does not have that same kind of seed head, so you don't have to worry about that with the softneck varieties. And something that you should add to your soil if you are considering planting garlic this fall is some sort of phosphorus soil amendment. So the two most common forms of that are bone meal and rock phosphate. So bone meal is exactly what it sounds like. It's crushed bone, very high in phosphorus. And rock phosphate is a mineral form of phosphorus, but phosphorus is one of the macronutrients that help plants grow strong root systems. So it's really important for planting garlic.
I have one more question about garlic. It will have to wait until after the break. We're coming right back. It's Charlotte Talks on WFAE.
Support comes from WFAE listeners and Habitat Charlotte Region. Since 1983, Habitat Charlotte Region has partnered with more than 5,000 families through financial education, home ownership, and critical home repair. More information at habitatcharlotteregion.org.
It's Charlotte Talks on listener-funded 90.7 WFAE and WFHE. I'm Mike Collins, and we're here with Mary Roberts, owner of Windcrest Farms in Monroe, Cherie Jazar, farmer and owner of Deep Root CPS Farm, and Aaron Hostetler, gardener and owner of The Patio Farmer. And we're talking about fall gardening. It's an ideal time of year, evidently, to be involved in that. And Aaron, I want to have one more question about planting garlic, because you say that you should not use bulbs from the store when you're planting. Are you talking about the garlic bulbs we buy in the grocery store or some other kind of a bulb?
Yes. No, the ones that you buy in the grocery store. And it's not, I mean, I would say you could try planting the ones that you buy in the grocery store, but keep an open mind as to what you'll get when it comes to harvesting, because a lot of the food that we have in the grocery store is a hybrid, or comes from hybrid plants, and the plants are bred a certain way to increase uniformity or size, various characteristics for the food in the produce section. So with a hybrid, if you were to plant seeds or try to cultivate a new crop from a hybrid seed, it may not be true to form or true, like, you might not get what you think you're going to get when you plant something that's hybrid. And it's hard to know what is hybridized and true to form or open pollinated from the store.
Okay. Yeah. Use the garlic in the grocery store to cook with now. If you're new to the area, and there are 150 people who move here every day, we are told, Mary. So if you're new to the area, and this is the time of year because you're coming from Michigan, where you put your spade away, this is not that time here. So what does well? Well, we've already kind of talked about that. But what doesn't do well? What should you not be planting right now?
Well, your typical summer crops that like heat: tomatoes, peppers, cucumbers, eggplant, basil. We're gonna wait until the end of April for those. Now, what does do well that's not going to give you fruit until that warm season, or food from that warm season, but does well planting now, is any of your fruit trees. So blueberries, blackberries, raspberries, figs, elderberries, any of those fruit trees, it's a great time to plant them now. Strawberries is another one, because the ground is still warm. The root system is going to get very well established. Now, it will, you will lose the leaves. It will go through a dormancy period, but in the spring it will be established and ready to go.
And in fact, Cherie, this is the best time of year, I'm told, to plant trees and shrubs, because you want to give the plant a chance to put down roots before the first freeze. I understand why that would be important, but then why wouldn't that be the spring then? Because you're not going to have any more freezes in the spring. Why is this the time of year to plant trees and shrubs?
Well, I mean, there are some things that you can plant in the spring, but now is a good time because you want it to have a chance to still have that warm soil, get the roots set, and you would have blooming, if it's going to bloom, if it's going to bloom in the first year, the next year. So it's kind of your chance to let it get set in its place, right? So get familiar with its setting and its place, so that next year it could bloom, fruit if it's going to fruit on the next year. Fall is a really good time for that. And the soil is still warm. But that doesn't mean it's less care. You know, some people think that, like, fall, I just plant it and it's less care. It's the same amount of care that you need to get to for the same thing you would be doing in your garden. You need to do that with your trees. And in fact, in the fall on our farm, we are doing a lot of planting of raspberries. We do planting of muscadine vines or any grapes that we're going to set in. We do a lot of pruning of those, but that's when we try to expand our orchard.
One of our listeners, Mike, wants to know, is it okay, Cherie, to plant rose bushes in the ground this time of year?
We don't have very many rose bushes on our farm. I'm not necessarily familiar with growing rose
Mary, bushes. Do you know?
No, I'm more on the edible side. I'm not familiar with roses either.
Then I'll throw it to Aaron. You're on the hot seat, Aaron. You don't know either, do you?
Oh, boy. Yeah. I don't know for sure. Yeah.
Okay. So but I think we can safely say, because I've planted in the spring, just hold off. Hold off and plant it in the spring, because if you do plant it in the spring, you won't have a shock of cold. It'll be still mild and then hot. And then, you know, you have a longer season. We're not experts, but I could say from my gardening experiences, when you don't know, you know, spring is the time to set it in, because you don't have those two harsh things happening at the same time.
So when it comes to trees and bushes, I mean, you want to let it, you want to plant the tree, Mary, so that it can establish its root system before the hard freeze of winter. So it will be healthy in the spring when the soil warms back up. How deep is that? How deep or how shallow can these plants be planted?
Well, each plant has a proper planting depth depending on what it is. And what we're talking about with the ground freezing, we're in a climate that we really don't get the freezing of the ground. Maybe the top inch or two, maybe. Not like up north where they get a deep freeze inches down. So each plant has a guideline as to how deep or shallow that you want to plant it. So you really have to do a research. For instance, I'll give you two examples. Strawberries. When we plant strawberries, we actually plant them a little high. We don't want the soil to cover the crown, because that crown, which is the grow point, will rot. So we have to be really careful with that. Lavender is another plant, because we want that moisture to kind of drain away. Something that might want to be planted deeper are, well, for instance, garlic. Garlic is planted fairly deep. It's a large seed. With trees, you really just, if you go and buy from a local source, they're going to instruct you on just how to take care of and properly plant that tree. So that's why I'm a big proponent for going to folks that are growing locally.
What about pruning trees and shrubs? Is this the time of year, Aaron, or do you wait until later? I know that there are rules for things that flower. You don't want to cut the buds off. So what's the rule of thumb here? What do you prune? What don't you prune right now?
Well, my general practice when it comes to pruning perennials is to wait until the leaves fall off the trees. So we are past the fruiting period for, you know, figs and blueberries, raspberries, all those yummy fruits. But I still like to wait until all of the leaves fall from the plant. So that could be, it's definitely a couple of months from now, probably, or at least a couple of weeks from now. I usually find myself doing most of my pruning in the new year, but before the new growth appears on the plants. So, yeah, that's generally when I'm pruning.
Let me knock out some listener questions, because we got a lot of them. Nick in Charlotte, I have three window boxes in my little apartment balcony that I just started this summer. I only get 5 to 6 hours of sun, and I want to plant more flowers. Can I plant any flowers right now, or should I wait for spring? Aaron, you're the container gardener.
So, yeah, you can definitely plant some flowers now. I would, my favorite winter cool weather flower is pansies or violas. So I would plant some of those. It's nice, bright pops of color. They come in a variety of different colors. Pansies and violas are edible flowers too. So if you're having any like festive gatherings and you want to spruce up a dish or a meal with a cute garnish, you can also do that or add them to a festive cocktail or mocktail. But yeah, That would be my suggestion.
Okay. Allison asks, I have a heap of bulbs getting ready to plant, and I would like to test out how they do in containers this year. I'm wondering, can I layer in winter greens, herbs, or veggies in the same containers, or is that asking too much of one pot? Erin.
That's a great question. I would say, I mean, the bulbs planted now in the fall is wise, and then they're not going to, you know, they're doing most of their work in the ground right now. So they're not going to be emerging. So that means that you have the top, you know, couple inches of soil to play around with some, maybe some edible things. Some greens would be lovely. I would shoot for things that have shallower root systems. So like a lettuce or arugula, spinach, maybe not adding root vegetables where you've planted the bulbs. That might not be a very good combination just in terms of productivity for later. But yeah, definitely some leafy greens on top of where you're seeding or planting the bulbs, I think would be.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about bulbs, Sherry, because this is the time of year when you plant some, and also the time of year when you remove some and put them in storage. What are the rules?
Or planting the bulb?
Planting or removing, because some bulbs have to be put in, they go into hibernation in your garage someplace. So
right.
Talk about that.
So, you know, for us on our farm, it depends on what it is, of course. We divide our dahlias, which I guess you wouldn't necessarily call it a round bulb, but it's a bulb underground. We divide them, we pull some of them up and store them. We actually store them in our cold storage, which is kind of interesting. We also put them in pots and bring them into our barn stall, put them there where it's dark. So we'll put them in soil. Some bulbs you can pull up, and as long as it still has some of the dirt on it, you don't want to rinse it off. That's something you don't want to do. You want to keep some of the soil on it and put it in a paper bag and put it in a dark place. So it kind of depends on if you're pulling some of them up. But right now in the fall, if you want to have a spring, you know, tulips and some beautiful flowering bulbs, you want to be putting them in the ground. You want to actually be planting them in the space that you want them to bloom, covering them with a light layer of mulch, or waiting till the leaves fall and covering them there so that you can have a bloom next year.
I'm understanding who lives in all these apartment buildings that are going up left and right in Charlotte, because we have a lot of questions from people who live in apartment buildings and the condominium buildings. Chris from Charlotte says, when is the best time to officially empty the summer porch plant pots and transition to fall plants? He may not be living in an apartment. He may be living in a house with a porch. Who knows? Aside from the classic mum, what other annuals would do well in porch pots during a Charlotte fall? Any suggestions on which plants might last the longest until that first frost? Erin. Porch pot.
Well, now is the time. Now is the time to be transitioning. Like within the next week, I would say, if you can. And really the things that we've mentioned already, like those leafy greens, some root vegetables, radishes are delightful. They don't take up a lot of space, and they grow quickly. So you could potentially, get a harvest before our first frost. But then all of the other, like a lot of our other vegetables and things, they taste sweeter, as Cherie was saying earlier, when they get a cold snap on them. And then adding some pansies, some edible flowers that are good for this time of year. I think you could really create some stunning pots for your porch. Yeah.
Mary, it isn't just the leaves that... I'm sorry, go ahead, Cherie. Go ahead. Did you want to talk?
I just was going to add to what Erin said. A lot of people are probably seeing now in some nurseries some what they call like ornamental cabbages and kales. And they put off beautiful colors and they are cold hardy. So, you know, maybe experiment with something like that.
Okay. I was just going to add to that. We have, I think, seven varieties of kale in all kinds of colors and leaf patterns. We've got curly, we've got frilly, we've got flat. We've got one called dinosaur that looks like a bumpy dinosaur skin. You could fill pots with a variety of those kales, and not only would it look beautiful, but you could be eating those in salads and winter soups and sautés and all kinds of things.
Okay. So,
And I'll
Mary, go ahead. Go ahead.
Sorry, I just want to add one little thing on that. Shopping with local, shopping from a local farmer, especially an organic farmer like Mary, if you are looking to do some more ornamentals, I would 100% recommend that. I actually was shopping last year at a different retailer, and I saw this kale that was marked as non-edible. So I had to ask, what does this mean? And sometimes plants are sprayed with a non-emergent or something that stunts the growth. So just be careful if you are if you see any non-edible signs on your on any vegetable plants, or better yet, just shop from a local retailer and source that you trust.
Okay, so as the seasons change, it isn't just the leaves that change color and drop. The sunlight changes. We get less sunlight. The angle of the sun is different, and the leaves do fall off the trees, and that can expose areas of your yard where you might be able to plant something that doesn't get any sun in the summertime, but might get a decent amount going into the winter and early spring. So, Mary, any recommendations about what you should do? Should you be looking for other areas of your yard to plant things in at this time of the year that maybe would not do well in the summer when you have all this tree canopy?
Well, there's two things to think about. It's not just the areas that suddenly get sunlight that were formerly in shade because of a deciduous tree, but it's day length also. So the days are getting shorter. And basically, when the daylight length falls below 9 hours, which for our area is around mid-November, things are not going to grow as vigorously as they do when the day length goes over 9 hours, which is sometime in mid-January. So, again, anything that's not fruiting doesn't need more than 6 hours of sunlight.
Mary Roberts is the owner of Windcrest Farms in Monroe. Sheree Jazar, owner of the Deep Roots CPS Farm, and Aaron Hotstetler, owner of the Patio Farmer. We're coming right back. It's Charlotte Talks on WFAE.
Support comes from WFAE listeners and the Gambrill Center at Queens, presenting Earthwise, a public series exploring our connection to nature through science, film, art, literature, and lived stories, part of their Connected Campus program. More at gambrillcenter.org.
It's Charlotte Talks on WFAE and WFAE.org. I'm Mike Collins. We're talking gardening with Mary Roberts, Sheree Jazar, and Aaron Hostetler, Fall Gardening. One of the things that we usually talk about, Mary, whenever we talk about gardening, is the soil. Without good soil, nothing's going to do very well. And if you've had a really active garden in the summer this year, should you be doing anything to amend the soil in preparation for next year? Or is that something that kind of takes care of itself if you have a fall garden that supplants the summer garden?
No, spring begins in the fall is what we say, because we do want to test that soil, kind of make notes of what did well and what didn't do well, and start to make plans for amending the soil now in preparation for the spring. Different plants will take a different range of nutrients out of the soil. So some plants are called heavy feeders and some plants are called light feeders. So we can help it along naturally by doing a crop rotation of following a heavy feeder like a tomato or corn or pepper with a light feeder like a lettuce or an arugula like we talked about. But now is a good time to use those leaves that are falling to add some organic matter back into the soil for the spring, or use it as mulch. We're very fortunate that we have low cost or no cost soil testing through NC State. You can get a kit from your local extension office. I believe you can get them from the library may have them. We carry them here at the farm. And go ahead and send off that soil to be tested so that you'll know what you need. You're not just adding something you don't need, which imbalances the soil and imbalances your pocketbook if you didn't need it to begin with. But we are constantly looking at our soil health. The motto at Windcrest Farm is, we feed the soil that feeds the plant that feeds you. Because when we're growing edible plants, that's where we're supposed to be getting our nutrition. That's how we evolved as humans, is getting our nutrition, not from supplements, but from the food that we eat. And so there is not just the soil health to make the plant look good, but the soil health makes the plant taste good, and the soil health makes us healthy.
I want to talk about leaves and what to do with them in a second. But Cherie, as your summer plants die off, or as your fall plants die off for that matter, should you leave them in the ground and let them go to seed, so to speak, and let the soil take care of decomposition, or should you take them out?
It all depends. I hate to say it like that, but if you're not going to be planting anything in that space, and you want to harvest the seed, keeping that plant in the soil is probably really good, because you're not disturbing, you know, the soil, and you're keeping all those microbes and everything that's feeding on that plant there until you need to, you know, take the plant out in the spring. So it depends. If you want to harvest seeds, I say anything that goes to seed, let it go. Like, we're going to let our okra go to seed. We're not going to cut down those big stalks, and we're going to harvest those seeds probably later on this year. So if you want to keep that seed going, I say do that. One of the things that you want to always take note of is covered soil is the best type of your protection, right? So you don't want to just rip it out just because it's the end of the year or end of the season. Sometimes we take our tomato plants and give them to our goats just because we know they like to eat tomato plants. But if we do, we're covering that space. Either, you know, a really cheap way to do it is a tarp. If you don't have any mulch or anything like that, if you have a tarp laying around, you can just put that on there. But it just depends. If you want to harvest seeds, keep it in until the seeds are ready to harvest. Or if you don't have anything to plant in that space, it's okay just to allow it to stay. Now, if it's diseased, you may not want to keep diseased plants in place. You want to take those out and try to maybe plant a cover crop or something that could remediate the soil. Sunflowers do a really good job of remediating the soil. We have tons of it on our farm right now. So I hate to say that, Mike, but it depends.
Okay. What about pots and containers? Should you be worrying about, because it's a limited amount of soil in those pots and containers, should you be changing that soil out once the growing season is over to prepare for spring? Or even now, should you leave fallow plants in them if it doesn't bother you looking at them? What should you do to keep the soil healthy in those pots and containers? Aaron.
Great question. I always say that you should not have to replace your soil, even if you're growing in pots. If you choose a high quality soil, it's something that you can be building and adding to from season to season. So unless something drastically goes wrong and you feel the need to replace the soil in your pots, then you shouldn't have to, and you can just keep building that. From season to season. And I would say, similar to what Cherie was saying, you know, if you wanted to try saving some seeds, you could leave your remaining plants in there, you know, depending on what you have. If you, and like the roots breaking down in the soil will have the same benefit to building the soil in pots, or similar benefit to building the soil in pots as directly in the ground. But if you don't have anything growing and the pot is empty for the season, it is a good idea to maybe add some mulch, just a couple handfuls, or even sow a cover crop in pots. It's really important to keep the soil working, whether that's breaking down mulch or having those little microbes, and hopefully an earthworm or two has found its way into your pot, but keeping them happy is great.
So Mary, let's talk about leaves, because they're going to fall. At some point, they're going to start coming off the trees. And some people say you should rake them and get rid of them. Other people, even lawn experts, some of them will say, leave them on the lawn. It's good ground cover and it nourishes the lawn. What about gardening, gardens and beds? Should you rake those leaves into the beds? Should you mulch them and put them in the beds? Or should you rake them out of the beds?
We absolutely love leaves. Leaves are free mulch. They're free fertilizer. They're free housing for our beneficials and pollinators. They're free food for earthworms. They are, if you think about what a leaf is, that tree all summer long has pulled nutrients and just good stuff out of the soil to grow those leaves. And now they're delivering it back to the soil. So we use, at Windcrest Farm, we use leaves for all of the things that I mentioned. So we may pile them up deep in places that we don't want weeds to grow. We may use them as mulch to protect bare soil from wind and rain erosion. We may chop them up and add them to the compost pile to create fertilizer. If you live near someone who is bagging those leaves and putting them in a bag for you, go ahead and take them home. I mean, again, that is just free. And we love leaves. I'm going to make a t-shirt. We love leaves.
What about watering, Cherie? You water a lot in the summer because the soil gets hot and the water evaporates. What about the winter? Does your water regimen change for a fall garden as opposed to a summer garden? And what should you, what should you do for things that are still alive in the wintertime in your garden?
So my water regimen doesn't change. It's give it what it needs. So in the fall, the needs won't be as intense as in the summertime. And it also depends on what you're actually growing and the soil content. So like we on our farm, we have sandy loam soil and we also have clay soil, which is kind of interesting within feet of each other. Clay soil is kind of very dense and it can hold a lot of moisture, and that area may not need as much soil as a sandy loam soil, as much watering as a sandy loam soil, or our root crops may not need as much watering as leafy greens. So it's very important that you know what you're growing and you know what kind of water needs are there. So that would sort of also depend. And I think if you're gardening, one of the tips I always give people, if you're gardening, get to know the plant or the vegetable or the flower and the needs that it has, because you don't want to just do what anything goes with everything, because you may be overdoing something or underdoing it, and you won't have good results and you may.
Well, what about freezing? Because water freezes. And so if you've recently watered and we have this freeze snap or whatever you want to call it, are you endangering the root structure of a plant that might be in the ground if the water freezes around it?
No, and Mary tells a really good story. I love to hear Mary's story about the water. I don't want to pitch it to her, but she tells a really good story and she's our veteran of the group. Mary, do you mind talking about what to do when it freezes and how to protect those roots?
Yes. So water actually holds more heat than air does. So when we're anticipating really cold weather, we actually want to deeply water rather than leave things dry, because soil has both air space and water space. So if we can fill that air space, which is going to get colder, then and fill it with water, We're actually protecting the plant. The other thing too is you'll hear folks talk about covering plants, using a row cover when we've got some cold weather coming. And what that does, most folks don't realize that it's not just protecting from the outside cold air, but it's trapping the natural warmth that's coming up from the ground. And so you're creating this little dome of slightly warmer air. So between well-watered plants and a row cover, if it's going to be cold ex for an extended amount of time, and the third thing is planting seasonally appropriate crops. So all of those things that we've talked about previously, they can stand the cold weather. And and so you can garden all year round.
So back to pots and containers, because Grace writes, I bought a hibiscus plant from a local nursery over the summer, and it's done very well in a large pot outside. I'd like to have it in the ground in my actual garden. Is it okay to plant it now, or should I keep it in that large pot until the spring? And if so, I'm going to add something to my own question, because I have a hibiscus. Should I bring it in?
Well, I would say if you can remember or still maybe have the tag for your hibiscus, you want to try to figure out what kind of variety you have, because some hibiscus will be fine planted outside, and will survive the winter and come back in the spring. Other varieties will not. So this is really, it depends on what the variety you're growing. If it's in a pot and you have room to bring it inside or at least into the garage, and give it some play dates in the sunshine through the winter, that might be the safest if you don't remember the variety. But if you still have the tag and it says that it's hardy in zone 8, then you're fine and you can leave it outside.
So we have a question from Emily, and I know that we've talked in the past, Cherie, about chickens, because suburban gardeners have suddenly taken up chickens. Emily writes, I bought baby chicks this summer for my garden, and this will be my first winter with them. What do I need to do to make sure that they are safe and warm in these colder months?
Ooh, so I hope she has a chicken house. That's important, not just for protection, but for warmth in the cooler months, especially the winter. You know, chickens roost, so they get up off the ground when they go to sleep at night. And some chickens will roost on whatever is around, and they get normalized to roost whatever is around. If it's not inside of a chicken coop, or a house for the chicken, they'll roost out in the yard on a tree branch, somewhere like that. So hopefully if she doesn't have that, she needs to get one immediately. And also, what we do in our chicken coop, we make sure their bedding is plush during the winter. So we spend a lot of time cleaning out the chicken coop because we make sure their bedding is plush. They tend to gather together when it's cold inside of that coop. So they love being together there. One of the things that is sometimes a challenge, depending on how you're providing water for your chickens, is ensuring that it doesn't freeze over in the colder months. So she's going to need to maybe come up with a system that keeps the water warm so it doesn't freeze. Because chickens will get very, very stressed if they don't get the right amount of water. One of the things we do with our chickens, starting in the fall, moving into the winters, we do a lot of fermenting of their any kind of feed. So you can buy, their feed from one of the retailers, and you just mix it with water, whatever the amount you would give them. You mix it with water and let it sit for 24 hours, and then you give it to them. It's a good way not to waste the feed. It provides a little bit more nutrients. So some of
It
these
makes them
things.
drunk. It makes them drunk. You're giving them fermented water. So.
Maybe that's it. No, it makes them very happy.
A drunk chicken is a happy chicken. I have less than 30 seconds. Naomi wants to know, I'm growing plumeria in a pot. How do I winterize it so I can replant it in the spring? You have about 15 seconds, Erin.
Oh boy. I would just play it safe and bring it inside. If it's in a pot, just keep it inside, keep it somewhere warm. And any bright, sunshiny day, take it outside and give it a nice drink of water.
And you get the last word. Keep those chickens drunk. Erin Hostetler, gardener, owner of The Patio, farmer Cherie Jazar, farmer, owner of Deep Roots CPS Farm, and Mary Roberts, owner of Windcrest Farms in Monroe. Thank you all for the hour.
Charlotte Talks is a production of 90.7 WFAE. Support for Charlotte Talks comes from Mazda of South Charlotte. Our executive producer is Gabe Altieri. The senior producer is Sarah D'Elia. The producer is Chris Jones. For more information on Charlotte Talks, to listen to past episodes, or to subscribe to the Charlotte Talks podcast, visit wfae.org/charlottetalks.
Support comes from WFAE members and Mazda of South Charlotte, focused on applying Mazda's customer-centric approach for vehicle design to car buying and servicing in order to create an experience centered around the customer. More at mazdaofsouthcharlotte.com.